listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Gold Podcast, and this is another live edition. I'm here at the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver, British Columbia, and with me right now is Joe Mazumdar. He's the co-editor of Exploration Insights, along with Brent Cook. Joe, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. First things first, I do want to give you some kudos on the Mariana acquisition. That's been a pick of yours for a long time. It panned out beautifully for you. So what's next after that? What's the next thing that you're looking for?
Well, thanks for having us, Jordan. Yeah, I mean, it's getting more difficult now to find companies with those kind of high-grade assets. And so a lot more of our portfolio right now is in companies that are trying to delineate those kind of assets right now.
Okay, now let me step back for a second. We talked about this before off air, but I want to get your view on metals market in general. I know you're cautious in the months ahead, and one thing I wanted to ask: are you finding some very good assets out there that they're just too expensive now? And so, in other words, if we do get a weakness in the sector that lasts into the summer, maybe into the fall, will that create a buying opportunity for more names, the ones that are just too expensive for you right now?
Yeah, we see a downward pressure on the markets right now as an opportunity. We're just holding out. We're not buying anything. Right now, we're going to wait for the GDXJ rebalancing to happen. We're going to wait for a lot of the downward pressure of the go-away in May investors to work through. But we've definitely got our eye on some companies. Right now, you know, any time that you want a return similar to what we got with Mariana, a three-bagger, it's as much your entry level as your exit level. Timing is very important.
Now, one thing I want to get your view on is majors making acquisitions, because we haven't seen many acquisitions lately. Of course, there were quite a bit more last year. But what we have seen is majors taking an interest, investing in a number of juniors. Can you explain the thinking as far as majors and why they're doing that?
Well, this is interesting because this is basically what my talk is going to be this afternoon, is about getting a glimpse of the supply side by taking a cross-section of major gold producers to see what they're doing, and then understanding from what they're doing what the implications are in the junior market. And what we've seen in terms of M&A specifically, we have seen significant M&A would, let's say, be Exeter Resources purchased by Goldcorp. So Goldcorp's gone from a little bit of a barbell strategy and looking and acquiring a small reserve base on a big land package in the Yukon with Kaminak and the coffee project, to now, which added maybe 2 million ounces of reserves, to now Exeter, which has had more than 20 million ounces of reserves but much lower grade. So you take one project that works in the current gold price environment and take another project that's more like an optionality play. So they're doing both ends. But to your point, yes, we see a lot more private placements by major companies and juniors. And I think the big reason for that is that the majors are not that invested in exploration, and most of the exploration they're doing is brownfields, which is near their current asset bases. They're doing little to no grassroots. And so their grassroots exploration proxy right now, their research and development, is basically the juniors. And you're seeing a lot of private placements like that. But with respect to the juniors, because the financing risk has changed a lot for them in the last 12 months, they could, if it's a really good asset, good jurisdiction, good team, you could see people getting premiums for entry into their stock, even by a major, and the major doesn't really mind right now because for them, it's a fraction of the cost for them to put their own people on site.
Right, and there's a couple of jurisdictions. There are some plates clamoring in the background. I apologize for that, but there are a couple of jurisdictions I just want you to quickly comment on. One is, and you mentioned the Yukon, because the Yukon, it seemed like a couple of years ago people were talking about that as a flash in the pan, yet now you have Goldcorp, obviously they're in there with the Kaminak acquisition, as you said. Agnico's invested in some juniors there, even Barrick Gold recently. Quickly, I mean, what's your view on the Yukon? Is there potential there? I mean, why are majors suddenly going into the Yukon?
Well, we did a discussion on this a couple of weeks ago after Barrick Gold did their private placement in ATAC Resources. And I think the reasoning here is that infrastructurally, the Yukon remains challenged. Okay, but to gain a big district scale play in a safe jurisdiction is not easy. So if you take a long-term 10-plus year view of an asset, then the Yukon probably makes sense because you're not asking for that infrastructure right now. Right now, all you want to do is get to a critical mass and a resource, and then you can worry about the infrastructure later. And so this is a chance you take, exploring a big district, and looking for the grade, the tonnage that will make the infrastructure make sense.
Right, and kind of sticking with the same theme, are there? I just want to get your comment on jurisdictions in general. Are there any kind of more exotic jurisdictions where you're seeing some opportunity which could become interesting in the next couple of years, but I don't want you to give away all your premium information? Yes, let me know what you think about that.
Well, the problem with jurisdictions or, let's say, specific countries is that until you really know the country, you don't know which areas are actually good and which areas are bad, and you don't really understand if the area that the company that you're looking at is in a good place or in a bad place until you actually do a lot more due diligence. And that issue is in the States, is in Canada, is in Australia, is in Colombia, is in Argentina, is in a lot of places. My worry right now, my focus, let's say, is if the market stays down, I will start to pick up undervalued companies with good assets in safe jurisdictions first and work my way down the ladder. I'm not going to start looking for a company with a supposed first mover advantage in a geopolitically risky jurisdiction that I'll spend half my time explaining the politics of rather than talk about the asset.
Great. That's what my follow-up question was going to be. Now let's talk about, before I let you go, let's talk about other exchanges, because I know that you and Brent have gone to the ASX and that you've had a lot of success there already, and that's the Australian Stock Exchange. And why don't you talk about that, also talk about the AIM in London and just your experience there, opportunities, challenges.
I would say on the ASX, we're pretty fine investing in ASX companies because they do have rules and regulations with respect to announcing resources. The problems with them are that they don't give you quarterly financials, so they're not monitored as much. Also, the news flow, you've got to deal with a 15-hour time difference. So we had this one company did really well for us in the ASX. They put some metallurgy out that came out on Monday morning in Sydney, but we didn't see until Sunday night. And so the market was already reacting to it when most of our subscribers were asleep. So that sort of issue is a problem for people who invest in the ASX. Even if it's dual listed, you still have that problem because the company is based in Australia. But we are willing to deal with that because some of these companies with good assets and safe jurisdictions, like Gold Road that we own, which has a big jurisdictional play in Western Australia that had an investment by Goldfields, is still, we believe, undervalued just on the basis of the asset they have. 50% of the asset has, not even including the land package that they're exploring on the working capital. So that's a discount that the ASX is getting. We think in the end, the discount will be adjusted because the companies will make up for that premium that the market's not seeing.
Okay, let's turn from what's going on with the companies and talk about some metals. I want to get your thoughts on uranium, which had the uranium stocks, they had a massive move higher, and that's completely suddenly gone the other way. It looks like they're going to retrace it all. And also zinc, that's been a hot market. It seems like there's a lot of new zinc companies coming out. Give me your thoughts on those two markets and also gold and silver, and maybe what you see the outlook being for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Okay, so everything.
I know. I have a habit of doing that, asking one question, then asking two or three other questions before I let the person answer.
Okay, so what I would do is I would say in terms of the commodities we're focused in on, we like gold, but we understand that it's volatile, and so our play on gold is more on the fundamental supply issue. So there's not much grassroots exploration happening. So in the gold sector, we are interested, but we're sticking to exploration on the gold side. That being said, we might take a punt again on leverage plays, and try to play the seasonality, which we did successfully during our Christmas wish list, which we bought and sold at Christmas. We bought and sold right before PDAC, when we made an average return of 50 to 70% in a few months. So we will play that game, but in gold, we're basically focused with companies on exploration plays. In zinc and copper, we are looking at anything in the scale from exploration to production. In uranium, we're not touching uranium. And the reasons we're not touching uranium is because we figure that the market is oversupplied, and we also think that there's a big overhang in stockpile that's not being drained fast enough.
So just to follow up on, and I apologize for that background noise, just to follow up on zinc, so that is a market where it's not just hype. There's legitimate fundamental reasons for people to go into zinc.
But the nuance in zinc is what you got to understand with any kind of these base metal companies is it's not gold, and gold is a fungible product. You sell gold and people will want gold, and that you're selling almost your final product. Whereas in zinc and copper, you're not selling a final product usually. You're usually selling a concentrate, and the person that's buying that concentrate is a smelter, not an individual at Lowe's. So you've got to understand the quality of your concentrate. So metallurgy is very, very important, and the quality of the concentrate, the quality of that product is very important. So if we're looking at zinc specifically, we're going to look for those plates that don't have a lot of deleterious elements, don't have arsenic, don't have bismuth, and have low manganese levels. Because we think those kind of concentrates, that kind of quality of concentrate, is what companies will want with respect to assets.
Okay, Joe, before I let you go, please tell the audience where they can go to follow your work and where they can go to sign up for your newsletter, your and Brent's newsletter, Exploration Insights.
It's www.explorationinsights.com, and there's a lot of free stuff there in terms of letters. The presentation I'm giving today, the actual write-up behind it is available on that on the website.
Okay, Joe, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Great insights, as always, and look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.